Obviously, the big news of the day, it's amazing. We're not talking about Baghdad. We're not talking about, you know, what's going on in Iraq, even though we easily could be. We're talking about one of the, I hate to refer to him as a comedic genius, because to me, he was so much more than a comedian. He just liked to make people laugh, but in dramatic roles too, just absolutely brilliant. And so I've got Amy put together and did a great job of putting together some things about Robin Williams today that I think best explain some of where we're coming at. We played this a little bit earlier, but I think the statewide audience deserves to hear this cut from CBS as well.
His stand-up routines were often manic.
The male of the species, as men, we spend 9 months trying to get out of the womb, and the rest of our life trying to get right back in.
His movie performances, sometimes magic.
Mrs. Hillard, I presume? Euphigenia Doubtfire.
Robin Williams, who dressed in drag to delight in Mrs. Doubtfire, was also just the right therapy in Good Will Hunting.
You don't know about real loss, because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself.
His death and apparent suicide at 63 at his California home has shocked Hollywood and fans across the country.
That range and his energy was just electric.
Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the delightful, the entertaining Robin Williams.
Robin Williams was a comic genius and much, much more. His first big breakthrough was portraying the manic space alien Mork on the TV sitcom Mork and Mindy.
No.
That was just the start. Next came the big screen. An early hit was Good Morning Vietnam.
Time to rocket from the Delta to the DMZ.
He was the voice of the genie in the Disney animated film Aladdin.
10,000 years will give you such a crick in the neck.
Then there were the acclaimed dramatic roles, including Good Will Hunting, which earned Williams an Academy Award.
You don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about. Why, thank you.
First and foremost, though, Robin Williams was a comedian. Bob Zmuda knew Williams from the beginning.
Already while he was alive, I mean, he was a living legend, you know, as probably the fastest comedy mind.
While everyone was laughing, Williams was battling his demons, drugs, and alcohol. More recently, his publicist says, Williams was suffering from severe depression.
You know, that's something that didn't surprise me. I'm sorry, it didn't. You could tell he was always in character. And whenever I get really ornery at work, and when you're a manager, sometimes you can't. You need to go in a place, settle down, use better verbiage, use better body language. You know, don't let the challenges that work can bring you. Everybody's got routines, right, to make you smile. I'll look at pictures of my grandkids, or I'll do things to remind myself to try to be the person that you'd want other people to be. You know, just be that person instead of being that jerk, which, trust me, we all can be. I'm not just singling out myself. We all know about that. But I have a habit. I will go in when I'm really in one of those modes, and I will pull up YouTube, and I'll pull up clips. And what is so eerie is one of my favorite clips ever is Robin Williams and Jonathan Winter on Johnny Carson show. And I had pulled that up yesterday. I was having some challenges at work, found myself kind of barking rather than communicating. And I said, you know what? You need to go get into that happy place. And I pulled that clip up and I found the back of my head. I remember one of my old directors on Roll Water said, when you laugh too hard, doesn't it hurt you right in the back of the head? And I said, yes. He just described exactly what I already knew, but in a better way. And Robin Williams had me rolling on the ground laughing. I didn't know anything about the fact that Robin Williams had taken his own life. I mean, I didn't know that. I didn't know the circumstance. I didn't know that he had passed. I didn't know that he was gone to us. But I knew that I needed to hear him. I knew that I needed to watch him. I knew that I needed to laugh. And when I think of Robin Williams, what I think of first and foremost is I think of Good Will Hunting. I don't think of him as a comedian. I think of him as that counselor in Good Will Hunting. It's one of my all-time favorite movies of all time. And there's a clip in it that best describes the range of what this man was. Now, remember, this man was Mork. I mean, this man was a guy that played 50-some different characters in the movie Aladdin. I mean, 50-some different voices and characters he played in the movie Aladdin. Think about the range that you have to have. And then to be able to bring that all back in and grab the seriousness of a role like in Good Will Hunting. And there's a clip in there that every time I see it, it gets to me on how talented he was. And it's a little bit lengthy. And Amy and I had a debate on how much to play. But you know what? I think you have to listen to it in its entirety in what he says. So take a listen to this.
What's this? The taste is choice moment between guys.
This is really nice. You got a thing for swans? Is this like a fetish? It's something like maybe we need to devote some time to.
Thought about what you said to me the other day about my painting.
Huh.
Stayed up half the night thinking about it. Something occurred to me. I fell into a deep, peaceful sleep and haven't thought about you since. You know what occurred to me?
No.
You're just a kid. You don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about.
Why, thank you.
It's all right. You've never been out of Boston.
Nope.
So if I asked you about art, you'd probably give me the skinny on every art book ever written. Michelangelo. I know a lot about him. Life's work, political aspirations, him and the Pope, sexual orientation, the whole works, right? I bet you can't tell me what it smells like in the Sistine Chapel. You've never actually stood there and looked up at that beautiful ceiling. Seen that. If I ask you about women, you'd probably give me a silver, say your personal favorites. You may have even been laid a few times. You can't tell me what it feels like to wake up next to a woman and feel truly happy. You're a tough kid. I ask you about war, you'd probably throw Shakespeare at me, right? Once more into the breach, dear friends. But you've never been near one. You've never held your best friend's head in your lap and watch him gasp his last breath looking to you for help. I ask you about love, probably quote me a sonnet. But you've never looked at a woman and been totally vulnerable. Known someone that could level you with her eyes. Feeling like God put an angel on earth just for you. Who could rescue you from the depths of hell. And you wouldn't know what it's like to be her angel. To have that love for her be there forever. Through anything. Through cancer. And you wouldn't know about sleeping, sitting up in a hospital room for 2 months holding her hand because the doctors could see in your eyes that the terms visiting hours don't apply to you. You don't know about real loss because that only occurs when you love something more than you love yourself. I doubt you've ever dared to love anybody that much. I look at you.
That right there, and if you've seen the movie, if you haven't seen the movie, go get it. But that right there shows the range of what that man was. And there's a reason he won an Oscar for that movie. There's a reason he won an Oscar for that movie. We pulled up another clip, thanks to our good buddy Jack Michaels, and I want to share with you this as well. Before we open the phone lines, and here's the question I have for you after we do open up the phone lines. When you think of Robin Williams, what's the first thing you think of? What Amy and I talked about what the first movie we thought of was, and AI for you.
Yeah, I thought Mrs. Doubtfire right away. When I heard the news yesterday, it was so sad. And that was the first movie I wanted to go and watch because I couldn't stop thinking about it. But I watched Mrs. Doubtfire a million times as a young girl. And it was like one of the best movies ever created. I think for us, for our generation, when we were that age,
did you ever see Patch Adams?
Yes, that was also.
I think people
a great
forget
movie.
About that.
Yes, I
the
did. The
World
forget.
According to Garp. I mean, it's just,
okay. Where did you get the stat that he played over 50 characters in Aladdin? He just played the genie.
No, but look at the voices that he did when he's sitting there talking to Aladdin.
Oh yes, yeah.
That's
50
different characters and that he played.
I read a great thing about how. he improvised most of that character.
Right. He took off with it and then they wrote around it.
Yes.
They drew around it.
Yeah.
And there was 50 different characters that he played in that one scene with Aladdin where he's doing all of this different talking.
Right, he improvised I think 50 or 70
One minute he's Jewish,
the
next minute he's Middle Eastern. I mean, it's just absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's just...
I thought you meant the actual characters. I was like, what? I'd never heard that before. But I know what you're saying now. I know the scene that you're talking about.
Listen to this piece of Jack Michaels.
Yeah, this is where he gets a little political with his comedy.
Nice to be in Washington where the buck stops here. Way to go. And then it's handed out to AIG and many other people. Now, I have the new Timothy Geithner $20 bill. It's just been printed, kind of neat. Instead of "In God We Trust," it just says, "Trust me." And it says, "Spend before Tuesday." And I know many of you have been looking for Sarah Palin's book. It is a bitch to find. Good luck. I found it somewhere between fiction and nonfiction in the fantasy aisle. You get the feeling with Sarah Palin in high school, she was voted least likely to write a book and most likely to burn one. Do you think that might have been? She's pretty wild, baby. I love her.
I'm sorry, but you know that's Robin Williams. I don't think any of that was scripted. He just gets up on stage and whatever came in his mind, he talked about. And the world has truly lost someone. It has, and it's sad. But a lot of messages coming in by text 35270 on what they first thought of at this and what they thought was his best work. I posted on Facebook as well. Go to my Facebook page, and we'll read some of those comments. Ken, you are on News and Views. Go ahead, Ken.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I was just compelled to call just because I had a very strong memory of Robin Williams serving the troops. He actually traveled over with the USO in 2003. And 2004, and performed for us in Balad, Iraq. So,
did you get to see him, Ken?
What's that?
Did you get to see him?
Yep, I did. Yeah, he performed in a hangar there in Balad, and in front of actually a lot of listeners probably remember that talk because we were part of the 142nd, and there was quite a few people over there at the time. His selfless service to us over there was just absolutely incredible.
I bet that had to be amazing. I bet it just had to be amazing.
It was, and you could tell, you know, it was so genuine. He loved what he was doing. And it came to him just, there was no script or anything, just like you said, but the stuff was so funny. You know, and what a morale booster for us all, too, because we'd been there for quite a while by the time he was there.
Ken, thank you for sharing. Thanks for calling in, buddy. You bet. Yep. Thanks for your service, too. Let's get to Dan. Dan, you're on News and Views.
Hi, Joel. My first thoughts took me back to being in about 7th or 8th grade, and listening repetitively to Robin Williams' first two comedy albums over and over again and just being in awe of his wit and the rapid-fire humor. I wanted to somehow learn how to do that myself. It really took me back to that era before mass media and YouTube and things like that. You know, back in Lidgerwood in 1978, the only way you got to see somebody was on TV, basically, if they're on TV. And so I'd seen him do stand-up, and he changed how improv comedy was done. He changed the parameters of how it was done.
He used to, thank you, Dan, he used to talk about how he couldn't watch acts, because if he watched an act, it would get in his head and it would come out. And so he'd end up sending people checks saying, you know, I think I stole some of your stuff, or there were people that thought he had copied some of their stuff, and it was just amazing. I want to tie in with Chris Simon. He's with Keys Radio 660, and he got a chance to interview Robin Williams twice. Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Very good, Joel. Good to talk to you.
Chris. Big loss.
Very big. In fact, when I heard about it, I have to tell you, I waited a little while because I had guessed it had been his depression. When I interviewed Robin Williams several times back in the late 80s and early 90s, I was working for the CBS affiliate in L.A., and the first time was to kick off a comic relief HBO effort to fight homelessness. And I was along with Whoopi Goldberg and Billy Crystal. He just astounded me because I'd ask him questions, and he would never come out of character.
Yeah.
No matter how serious the questions, he'd always give me a quip back, really funny, no matter how serious it may be. And I walked away from the interview thinking that he was, as funny as he was and as entertained as I was, that he was hiding some deep, deep problems. Because,
I who interview people a lot and get this, this wasn't surprising to me. Was it to you, Chris?
No, not at all. Yeah. Knowing that he had a history with depression And having met him those two times and knowing that he never let the public see what he was all about, he never came out of character. He was always up, and he made you tired.
Yeah.
He exhausted you. A two-minute interview, and I felt like I ran a couple laps.
Chris.
But the guy, it was amazing.
Yeah.
But not a surprise.
Thanks for sharing, buddy. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Chris Simon, news director at Keys Radio in Williston, North Dakota.